You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Follow Me. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Jesus calls out, Follow Me. He says that in John chapter 12. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be. Jesus, you want us to follow you. Good enough. Tell us, where are you going? And tell us, what's it going to be like to follow you? Hear his answer and hear it well. I'm going to suffer, he says. I'm going to die. That's where I want you to follow. Then, and only then, I'll be raised to life and I'll ascend to glory. Then you'll share in that life and glory. But first, you must follow me through suffering and death. I don't know about you, but my own natural reaction is that this is a strange way to go. I want a good life, and the idea of glory suits me just fine. But to get there through suffering and death, that's not the quality of life that I desire. It seems like a strange way to go, this way of Jesus. But he means it. He lived just the way he preached. Only a few days after saying, Follow me, Jesus died on the cross. He could have escaped the suffering and death. He could have slipped out of town. He could have avoided the pain. I certainly might have done that. After all, who wants to suffer? But Jesus didn't flee the cross. The way he saw it, there was only one way to life and glory. That was the way of suffering and death. You want a good life? Jesus insists that the way to real life is that same way, following him through suffering and death to life and glory. Listen to Jesus in that same chapter, John 12. The person who loves his life loses it, and the person who hates his life in this world will secure it for everlasting life. It comes down to this. If you want a good life, then you'll have to renounce your preoccupation with the quality of your life. On the other hand, if your goal is a life without personal suffering, if you yearn for a life of happiness and personal fulfillment here on earth, then you're going to lose your life. Follow me through suffering and death to life, real life. Any other way is a dead end. Now let's talk about dead ends. One of the most terrible dead ends that is being talked about today is assisted suicide. Assisted suicide is a sin against God. What Jesus has told us about hating our life in order to follow him stands in direct contradiction to one of the great arguments advanced by proponents of assisted suicide. They are forever harping about the quality of life. The conventional wisdom today is that you and I should have this so-called quality of life. According to a survey by the Barna Research Group, 63% of Americans say that the purpose of life is happiness and personal fulfillment. More and more, the conventional wisdom says that if you don't have quality of life, if you are not happy and fulfilled, and if, in addition, you are suffering with a terminal disease, then our society should compassionately and legally permit you to end your life. Just call up your friendly family doctor. Remember, he's the one who used to try to help you get better. Call up your doctor and invite him over to assist you in suicide. So goes the quality of life argument. This isn't just about Dr. Kevorkian. Assisted suicide is increasingly becoming the conventional wisdom. Isaac Asimov says, "No decent human being would allow an animal to suffer without putting it out of its misery. It's only to human beings that human beings are so cruel as to allow them to live on in pain, in hopelessness, in living death, without moving a muscle to help them." The news services reported last February that the Netherlands passed the world's most liberal euthanasia law, establishing strict guidelines that allow doctors to help terminally ill patients end their lives. The law, to take effect early next year, virtually guarantees doctors immunity from prosecution if they follow a 28-point checklist before they assist in a suicide or help to end a terminally ill patient's life. The checklist is designed to confirm that a patient is terminally ill, in unbearable pain, and has repeatedly asked to die. Talk about a dead end? Assisted suicide really is. Jesus says the person who loves his life loses it. The person who is so obsessed with the quality of earthly life will end up having no life, no quality. If you're buying into this quality of life argument, if you think assisted suicide is the compassionate thing, then you're being deceived. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it is not surprising if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get what they deserve for what they are doing. Let me make a footnote here, a most important footnote. Let me say something to you who have had to make a decision like my friend Marie had to make. Marie's husband had just been taken to the hospital. I was visiting with Marie and her niece when the nurse came into the waiting room, sat down next to Marie, and said, "I'm sorry, but your husband is dying. In a few hours, perhaps a day or so, the end will come. We're making him as comfortable as possible. Now, we could hook him up to the machines, but that would only prolong his death." Marie looked at her niece, then at me. We said, "It's okay. The Lord is taking your husband home now. You don't want to prolong his death." Many of you listeners have been in that same situation that Marie was in. Many of you will find yourself in that situation. I'm not talking about such situations. Imminent death is different than terminal illness. Imminent death means that you're dying. A few hours, a day or two, and death will come. There is no reason to prolong the dying. That is not a sin. Terminal illness is different. A person with a terminal illness may have many months of good living. People like Asimov and Kevorkian, the proponents of the law in the Netherlands, and recent propositions in some American states, these people are trying to promote the idea that if you have a terminal illness, if you are suffering, and if you have no quality of life, then a doctor should be able to assist you legally in suicide. To that I say no. To that many of you listeners say no. This preoccupation with a quality of life is a dead end. You are never going to see life and glory if you keep imagining that the purpose of earthly life is happiness and personal fulfillment. In John chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus said to his opponents, "I am going away, and you will be looking for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." You cannot enter life and glory if you are obsessed with the quality of your earthly life. If you think that the lack of quality and the presence of suffering justifies assisted suicide, then you're taking a terrible wrong turn down a dead end. If anyone knows about end-of-life issues, it's Jesus himself. Today, the church begins its observance of Holy Week. Holy Week is like a seminar in end-of-life issues, with our instructor being no one less than Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. This seminar on the end of life teaches the lesson that the way to life and glory is only through suffering and the cross. Quality of life? Jesus wasn't preoccupied with the quality of his life. He could have left Jerusalem, and he could have avoided the pain of death, but he didn't. He endured the pain. However, knowing that he was going to suffer did concern Jesus. In John chapter 12, that's the same chapter I've referred to several times today, Jesus talks about his coming suffering and death. He says, "I am deeply troubled now." That's understandable. He was going to suffer great pain in the coming days. He would suffer emotionally, betrayed by Judas Iscariot and abandoned by his followers. He would also suffer intense physical pain, the pain of crucifixion. Crucifixion was the Roman Empire's way of executing foreigners. Death came slowly and painfully, from fatigue, cramped muscles, hunger, and thirst. No wonder Jesus said, "I am deeply troubled." Even though he was the Son of God, he was also a true human being, and he was troubled by the prospect of pain at the end of his life. Quality of life? Jesus knew that he wasn't going to have any during his last days. Knowing that, Jesus went on to say, "What should I say, Father? Save me from this time of suffering?" Now that's a real human question. Jesus could not have put it any more succinctly. "Father," he said. He looked at the end of his earthly journey in terms of the Father's will. He wanted the coming days to fulfill the divine purpose of his life. Jesus didn't talk about the quality of life. He wanted only one thing, to do the Father's will and not his own. So when he asked, "What should I say, Father? Save me from this time of suffering," he had an immediate answer. "No, I came just because of this time. Father, glorify your name." Jesus knew that he had come to suffer and die. He knew that only through his suffering and death would the Father be glorified. For his suffering and death shows that God is good and desires the salvation of every sinner. Jesus knew that only through his suffering and death could the way be opened for sinners to be drawn to eternal life and glory. So Jesus practiced what he preached. He did not love his life, but sacrificed it at the cross. In the suffering and the death of the cross, God is glorified. At Jesus' cross, this world was judged. This world that selfishly demands quality of life here and now. This world that has chosen to make its own rules and develop its own philosophies. This world of ours was judged at the cross. God, the holy and righteous judge, to whom every person must give account, punished the sins of our world by punishing Jesus. When you are drawn to the suffering and death of Calvary's cross, you have passed from God's judgment to God's life. At Jesus' cross, the ruler of this world was thrown out. The devil, the one who masquerades as an angel of light. The devil, who twist words in order to move people away from God's truth, words like compassion and quality of life. The devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. The ruler of this world was cast out at the cross. Satan, who had brought sin into the world by twisting words at the tree in the Garden of Eden, was defeated by the Son of God at the tree of the cross. God wants to draw every man, woman, and child to this cross. It is to the great and eternal glory of God that he gave his own Son into suffering and death so that all people could be saved. Through word and sacrament, God wants to draw to the Savior you, who think that there is no forgiveness for what you have done. Through word and sacrament, God wants to draw to the Savior you, who have loved your own life and therefore would lose it if you did not repent. Through word and sacrament, God wants to draw to the Savior you, who have tried every way and have found every way to be a dead end. through the word and sacraments of the cross, God gives and God strengthens faith. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now when we were baptized into his death, we were buried with him, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too will live a new life. If we were united with him in the likeness of his death, then we will be united with him also in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old self was nailed with him to the cross to render our sinful body powerless, in order that we might not be slaves to sin any longer. For the one who has died has been declared free from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Do you want a good life? Of course, we all do. The argument for assisted suicide that is based upon quality of life seems so appealing. But what does it really say? That argument says that my life here and now is most important. If my life here and now does not have quality, I should have the right to end it. The Word of God is opposed to that kind of deceptive logic. Jesus says, "The person who loves his life loses it, and the person who hates his life in this world will secure it for everlasting life." Follow me, Jesus says, through suffering and death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.